This morning for Father's Day, we want to look at a father from the Bible, a man named Joseph. And I don't know if we would call Joseph, we'd call him Jesus' foster father, or his adopted father, or his stepfather, but Joseph fills that role of an earthly father. And the people, we can see in the Bible that the people considered Joseph as Jesus' father. In Luke 3 and 23 it says this, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph," which was the son of Eli. And then he goes on to give a lens there, but we see it says, "as was supposed the son of Joseph." He was supposed the son of Joseph. Joseph was supposed his father. And we see it in another place in Matthew, where Jesus went and he's teaching in his own country. It says in Matthew 13 and 43, "And when he was come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son, and is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things?" Now, the thing that we want to notice here is they say, is not this the carpenter's son? Joseph was considered as his father. He was seen that way by the world around him. And we see that even though we might... We know that God was his father and that he had a special birth, but we see that the people around him considered Joseph as his father, and so Joseph filled that role. And many today are like this. They fill the role for children that are really not that they're not the biological father for. Whether it be, like we mentioned before, whether it be a foster father where they take these kids in for just a little while, or whether it's an adopted father, or whether it's a stepfather, still these fill the role of a father, and they still are a father in that way. They still have that position and that role, and these two need to be honored. They need to be honored as a father, and so we want to do that. And what some of the things we want to consider is that these fathers need to be respected as a father. They need to be, and they should be respected as a father. And children need that. They need authority. And they need to learn to respect authority. Fathers need to be obeyed as a father. They need to be obeyed. Children need to learn to obey parents. As a child learns to obey parents, they learn... It's a way to train children, something that's going to be hard for all to learn, but that all need to learn, is to submit their will. We have to submit our will in our lives. As we take a job, we submit what we want to do to what someone up higher in the chain of command at the job says we should do. We have to submit to those rules. We have to submit our will to the law around us. We can't just do whatever we want to. The law tells us what we have to do, and we have to learn to submit our will. And one of the important things that we have to learn in our lives is this, submitting our will to something else. In particular, as Christians, we have to learn to submit our will to God's will, to obey Him. And it's something that we need to start learning early in our lives. And kids need to learn to obey, so they learn to submit their will and eventually submit it to God's will. And these fathers that we're talking about, fathers that might fill this role of father, they need to be held accountable as a father. They need to be held responsible for that, how they take that role and how they use that role. People have to be held accountable for what they're given with responsibility. Privilege comes responsibility. And these, we don't need to just esteem someone as father and not expect him to be there as a father for the child. That would teach a bad example of fatherhood to the children. That would undermine the role. And it's a very important role, the role of being a father, for that will shape the view of how many will see God. How they see their father is determined, has an influence, and has that shape, power of shaping their view of God as they grow. So it's an important role that we need to make sure it's done right. Children need a father. Family need a father. And Jesus, although he was born of a virgin birth, God gave Jesus an earthly father. God wanted, he wanted his son raised right, and he gave this man Joseph. This man Joseph, the Bible calls him a just man. He was a good man. He did what was right. We're going to look at Joseph today. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph, but we're going to look at some of the things, places where he is mentioned in the Bible. He's not mentioned in many places. And he's not mentioned in particular. He's not mentioned later in Jesus' ministry. And many people speculate because of that. He was probably dead by this time. But the Bible doesn't tell it specifically. And people also speculate other things about Joseph, but things we don't know. But we want to look and see what things the Bible does say about Joseph. And we want to see if we can learn some things as we look at Joseph being a father. So let's look and see what the Bible tells us. We can start in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we want to start reading here in verse 18. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So we see in this that Mary was espoused, we saw in verse 18 where we started, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. It says, and I think this espoused that we're looking at, reading of here, is kind of like engaged. I guess that's what this is. We see it also in the Old Testament. David said that he was espoused to his wife when he paid the dowry. When he had paid the dowry, or paid the price. So he had met some requirement there. So I guess this espoused to Joseph means, I would think that it means more than just that Joseph had it in his mind or Joseph was planning for this, but he had met some requirements that was necessary, and that she was to be his wife. And so in this espoused situation, when he's espoused, then Joseph finds out Mary is with child. And in verse 19 that we just read, it tells us that Joseph was a just man. That's what we read before. Joseph was a just man. And now we know this is a good thing, a just man. Noah was called a just man in Genesis chapter 6, in the same verse it says that Noah was a just man, perfect in all his generations, and it goes on to say that he walked with the Lord. So we know that being just is a good thing, but let's consider for a moment, what is this? Psalms and Proverbs mentions it a lot. Proverbs mentions it lots of times. Psalms mentions it. Proverbs says this about a just man. He says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So we know this is a good thing, but what does it mean to be a just man? I would think that means it's based on the word justice. Just means to judge fairly. Justice would mean to judge fairly. And sometimes this is a difficult matter for us to be fair in life and to make those good decisions. It's tough to make the life decisions and to be fair. It's hard for us to discern what is fair. We know that God is just. God only is really, truly just, the just one. And Psalms talks about God and His judgment. He says, for He cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. So it says that you judge with equity. I think that's this justice, that's this fairness that we're looking for. God is a just man. God is the only just one, but I think we want to consider what it means to be a just man. I think that would be someone that loves and that seeks justice. That would try to treat people fair. To me, that's what it means to be a just man. And here Joseph is a just man, and we see that he's struggling with something. He's struggling with trying to make the right judgment. That's what the Bible is teaching us there. It says that he thought on these things and he's not willing to make her a public example. As in verse 19, but to put her away, minded. Put her away privately. He's considering this. He's thinking about these things. And what is he talking about here with the publicly, to make her a public example? In the Old Testament, and in the law that they would have been under then from Leviticus and Deuteronomy, she would be put to death publicly. The old law you read in Leviticus 20 and also in Deuteronomy 22 has several verses there. Those verses in Deuteronomy say that she would be stoned publicly if for these things that they would think here as they're thinking as to what has happened, she would be stoned publicly so that they would put away evil from among the people. That's what the Bible said in Deuteronomy. But Joseph is a just man. He wants to do what's right. He wants the law to be obeyed. And it was important, as the Bible teaches, that it was important to put evil away from them. But Joseph is considering this, and he's considering minded. It says to put her away in a quiet manner. Put her away privately, quietly. Compassion sometimes means quietness about other people's mistakes. To be quiet with other people's problems. And to not be loud and trying to bring other people's problems out and make other people look bad, but compassion. So we see that of Joseph here. He's compassionate. At this point, you know, Joseph is feeling kind of confused, I would imagine. And he loves Mary. But I would think at the same time, he's also feeling hurt and he's probably angry. Wouldn't you think that he was angry? And sometimes we're like that in our lives. We have people that we love, but sometimes we're angry with them. But we see what Joseph did here. He's thinking on these things. He's taking his time about what he's going to do. He's seeking for God's guidance. He's seeking for the just thing to do, for he's a just man. The Bible tells us right here. And then in verse 20, the Bible tells us that while he's thinking about these things and thinking about the right thing to do, that God sends him guidance. God gives him direction. And too often in our lives, we don't do the just thing because we act too soon. We don't spend enough time and thought seeking that just response. So we see here Joseph was spending some time. He was thinking, concerned with what to do, and we have to be careful with what we do and take some thought. Take some time for a thought, for our correct response, to be a just person, to have the just response. And we see that Joseph was compassionate. Another thing that we see here from Joseph out of this is we see Joseph's response to the message of the angel. The angel of the Lord came and he said to him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." He goes on, he tells him a lot of stuff there, but we see Joseph's response was that he obeyed. He obeyed. He did those things. Another thing we could see in Joseph's response was that he believed that it was possible. He didn't just say, "Oh, that's impossible." He didn't try to limit God. As sometimes people today, they would say, "Oh, I don't believe because of those things that I read in the Bible, they don't seem possible." That doesn't seem possible. And sometimes people might say, "Well, my life is too bad, or my sin is too bad for God to fix." They limit God and say it's just not possible. But really, when you stop and think about it, how silly to think something was too hard for God. When we think like this, it's because we don't really know God. Jesus said, as Jesus was teaching, and he talking about how hard it was for a rich man to enter into heaven, and he said there that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. And it said in Matthew 19:25, "And when the disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So we don't need to limit God with our limitations. Realize that with God all things are possible. And Joseph did not just say impossible. But he had a good response. And now we have to turn over to Luke to see the next thing about Joseph here. When Joseph leaves Galilee and he goes to Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2, the first verse is there. These are familiar verses that get read a lot at Christmas. It says in first couple of verses there, it's talking about the time and all. Look at verse 3, and it says, "And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Is to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we see from this, we noticed a couple things. We saw from the last of this, that there was no room for him in the inn. I think from that we can understand that Joseph was not a very rich person or a very powerful person. And we have to realize in our lives that, you know, God chose Joseph. And we might not be rich or powerful, and those things are not as important as what we sometimes might think. We might look at a father and try to judge him by the way that he provides for earthly things, but that's not God's judgment. Fathers are to provide the guidance. The spiritual guidance is more important than riches, earthly things, or power. Another thing that we'll notice from this is that Joseph was obeying the law. And he was obeying the law even though it was a hardship on them to travel and to go over there to the place where the law said to be taxed. But Joseph was obeying that law even though it was hard. And in Romans, we're told, Romans chapter 13, we're not going to turn over and read that, but there are several verses there that tells us as Christians that we are to obey the law and how important it is for us as Christians to obey the law. And it says that there that not only do we obey the law to avoid the punishment, but for conscience sake. And we might would look at the law and try to weigh it out and say, well, what's the punishment if I get caught? What's the punishment if I break the law? What's the chance of me getting caught? And looking at it this way, but as Christians, we're told that we should obey the law for conscience sake. It's not a matter of how easy was it for me to obey the law or how difficult it was for me to obey the law or the chances that I would get caught. But for conscience sake, the Bible says we must obey. And Joseph was doing that. He was obeying the law. And now as we look on, we'll see another move that the family made. And being the father, Joseph was one to move the family. And back in Matthew in chapter 2, you can look at verse 14. Actually, let's look at verse 13, Matthew chapter 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Jesus. Now this was departure that they're talking about. Who was departed was the wise man. That's the wise man departed. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he, from the Joseph there, and he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. And if you look on down, it says that made Herod mad, and he went and he slew the children trying to find this one child. But Joseph, after he was visited by these wise men, then Joseph was warned of God. And again, Joseph obeyed. Joseph obeyed God, and in doing so, he escaped his family from that wrath of Herod. This is similar to Noah saving his family by obeying God. And the father's response to God has a huge impact on his family. The best thing that a father can do for his family is to be open to God, to be obedient to God, as we see here that Joseph was. He obeyed. We see this more than once now. Joseph was directed by God, and he obeyed. And then again, after they're in Egypt, and Herod dies, and if you were to continue reading on down, Matthew chapter 2 there, verses 19 through 23, I guess, speaks some more about this. But God speaks to Joseph again. An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he says to go back now, go back to the land of Egypt. I mean, back to the land of Israel. And again, we see, like before, we see Joseph is one who listened to God. And he followed where God directed. Dad sang that song this morning that we would follow. Where He leads, I'll follow. And we follow God. And by doing this, like Joseph followed God and went where he was directed, he brought peace and safety to his family. And I compared him earlier to Noah, the saving of his family through obedience. But now, in contrast, you can contrast him also to Lot. Lot made a bad decision as to where to raise his family. And it cost his family. It cost him. But Joseph brought, by obeying God, he brought this peace and safety and brought him into a good place to raise his family. But more important than peace and safety, there are things more important than peace and safety, and those also come from obeying God, being open to God, and it brings blessings to our family, just like what we read in Proverbs. In Luke chapter 2, where we know the story where Jesus goes missing for a few days. But what we want to notice there from Luke chapter 2 is it says, Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." So every year they did this. They are devout in following these things. We know the story. We guess we could go on and look at this going on down. It says, "And when the days were fulfilled," this is verse 43, Luke chapter 2, "and when the days were fulfilled, as they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they saw him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him." And then it goes on, "They spent 3 days looking for him there. After 3 days, they found him." And then in verse 48 it says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And that's the last time that we see of Joseph in the Bible. And we want to learn some lessons from Joseph that a father is important to have, that we follow God, that we can be a just man and bless our children. And we see also from this last time that we see Joseph, he said that my father and I have sought these sorrowing. And sometimes we being a father or being a parent means some sorrow over our children. Sometimes the sorrow is over decisions that our children make, things that they have done and we're sorrowful for. Sometimes the sorrow is for decisions over things that we have done. Mistakes that we have made bring sorrow upon us, as we would think in this case, where Mary and Joseph have wandered off and they've left him there. Now they're sorrowful if they didn't know where he was. But being a father is an important and honorable role. And it's something worth doing. And it's one of those things that's worth doing to the best of our ability. And that's our sermon for you this morning. As always, we want to extend an invitation